Welcome to today's deep dive. Imagine setting out to build 300,000 homes. You have the blueprints, you have the state mandate, and you've got 5 years to do it.
Right.
But at the end of that cycle, you are short by almost 55,000 houses.
Yeah, it's a massive shortfall.
That is the stark reality buried inside the 2023-2024 annual report from South Africa's Department of Human Settlements. We're looking at a government attempting to house a nation amidst, a crippled economy, extreme weather, and organized crime.
And to figure out exactly why they missed that target so widely, I mean, we really have to look at what's happening to the middle class. The
Right.
data points straight to a crisis in what the report calls the gap market.
Okay, let's unpack this, because the way the report describes it, the gap market is basically a financial purgatory. It's like the middle child syndrome of housing.
Exactly.
These are households earning too much to qualify for a fully subsidized free government house, but they don't earn nearly enough to get a mortgage from a bank, especially with mortgage repayments jumping by 29% recently.
Right. What's fascinating here is how severe that bottleneck really is. The math tells the whole story. So, in the final quarter of 2023, over 98% of all approved mortgages went to people pulling in more than 15,000 rand a month.
Wait, 98%?
Yeah, 98%.
So the entire lower middle class is just completely shut out of the formal property market. Where do they go? I mean, they don't just evaporate.
They move into informal settlements, and this is exactly where a personal finance issue morphs into a major national infrastructure crisis. Because when formal housing fails, people just build wherever there is empty space.
But the empty space they're finding isn't just like vacant lots. Their report highlights informal settlements sprawling over Eskom's electrical servitudes and Sanral's road reserves.
Right, which means people are physically building homes directly underneath high voltage power lines.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, or right on the edges of national highways. So it obviously puts the residents in fatal danger from electrocution or traffic accidents.
Are these settlements just a housing issue then, or are they literally destabilizing the whole grid?
Oh, they are absolutely destabilizing it. On a macro level, this physically prevents the state from maintaining or expanding the electrical and transport grids.
Plus, these makeshift areas are incredibly vulnerable to climate disasters. Think about the massive floods in KwaZulu-Natal or that horrific Uzindiso building fire in Johannesburg.
Exactly, which forces the housing department to constantly play catch up with emergency relief. They actually ended up centralizing their disaster response and spent over 81 million rand just on temporary residential units and materials to help victims survive.
It feels like bailing out a leaky boat instead of fixing the hole in the hull. I mean, if the need is this desperate and informal settlements are literally blocking the national power grid, why not just fast-track the formal building process?
Well, two massive roadblocks derailed that momentum. First, the department took a mid-year budget cut of 3.2 billion rand.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah, because the national treasury is squeezed, so money just gets pulled from housing to plug economic holes elsewhere. But the second roadblock is even more disruptive.
The construction mafia.
The construction mafia.
I've seen the headlines, but how does a syndicate actually stop a state housing project? Are they just walking onto sites and demanding cash?
That is essentially how it works. These are localized, heavily armed groups that demand a percentage of the contract value as a protection fee.
Unbelievable.
And if the contractor refuses to pay up, the syndicate just uses violence and intimidation to shut the site down entirely.
Which explains why contractors are completely abandoning sites in places like KZN and the Western Cape. I mean, you can't lay bricks if your workers are dodging bullets.
You can't. But amidst all this chaos, the billion rand budget cuts, natural disasters, armed extortion, there is a silver lining. The department actually managed to secure a clean financial audit from the Auditor General.
Wait, really? I'll be honest. A clean audit sounds like, basic accounting. But in the context of South African state departments, that's actually a pretty rare win.
Right. It is a major win. It means that despite operating in a highly volatile environment, the money was accounted for transparently. No glaring irregular expenditure. They even managed to deliberately channel 4.7 billion rand of their procurement contracts specifically to women-owned businesses.
Wow. Okay. So they are trying to push the economy forward while fighting fires on literally every front. To wrap this up, it really highlights the delicate balancing act between dwindling budgets, extreme weather, and economic stagnation.
It does. And with those shrinking budgets and disappearing land, the government's primary solution moving forward is heavily pushing for high-density, high-rise apartment buildings.
Right, which makes sense on paper. But how do those high-rise towers fit into the cultural reality on the ground?
That's the real challenge.
Because many deeply ingrained cultural and religious practices in South Africa require direct physical access to the earth. So if the government's only viable solution is pushing people into the sky, are they building sustainable communities or just creating a completely different kind of friction down the line? Just a little something for you to ponder the next time you see a new skyline going up.